Well, greetings, all of our family and friends. I want to thank you for joining us for our Freedom Global Prophetic Podcast. It is an honor to be with you on a Wednesday afternoon, early evening. Thank you for joining us. We're not going to be too long today. There's so much that's happening, but I want to take a minute to pray with you and just to come into agreement. So good to see you, Sister Melissa. Thank you for joining us. As you're coming in, please let us know where you're joining from so that we can agree with you and pray with you. And then just ask God for the blessing of his grace upon each and every listener. We believe that there's power in agreement. And so let us know where you're watching from. And we believe that God is going to have a mighty, mighty way today and have impact. So I'm actually doing that work of the evangelist now. I'm sharing the podcast. I'm making sure to let somebody know we're on, and we're going to get right to the word of the Lord and then get into a time of prayer in just a moment. So thank you for being with us, Sister Margaret. Sister Ada, thank you. Good afternoon to you, Sister Joemma. The Lord bless you, Sister Julie. Again, wherever you're watching from, let us know where you're joining in. And we do believe that it's important that we're praying for the areas that we represent, regions and cities and towns. Biblically, the Bible says that God was getting ready to visit Sodom and Gomorrah, Genesis 17 and 18. And before God does visit these cities, it says that God said, I must visit my friend, someone I know who fears me. Bless you, Sister Priscilla, Sister Mary. So good to see you. And the Bible says that that Abraham began to negotiate for the salvation and preservation of Sodom. Those that know the word, he said, if I can find 50 righteous, would you spare the city for the sake of 50? Abraham said before the Lord. And then the Lord said, yes, you know, be it, you know, what you say, we say. The word ecclesia means called out ones, but it is very seldomly or not even used in a religious context, though it is a spiritual, it is a spiritual disposition to be a part of the church. It's a spiritual matter, but not a religious one. It's actually a governmental term where God looks to the righteous for the sake of the nation and the nations of the world. Blessings, Brother Reuben. So good to see you. Let's turn there. We're going to look just a moment at one of our responsibilities. And as we were driving in from out of town today, and we're headed right back out of town this evening, God began to speak to my heart about our responsibility. Going to Genesis chapter number 18, and going to start at verse, go down just a little bit to, we'll go down to, verse 23. And here God is getting ready to visit Sodom and Gomorrah. It is a city whose sin and wickedness has gone before the Lord. We know that to be a part of biblical history, that God came down to bring judgment to this city. Bless you, Isabella. Thank you for joining. I'm going to ask you, we're just sharing a thought before we get into the word. This may be the direction of this word, but if you can, do the work of the evangelist. Share the podcast. Let somebody know we're on. Thank you for joining us, for being a part of our Freedom Global Prophetic Podcast. Thank you. Bless you, Pastora Lorraine. So good to see you. Sister Eunice, thank you for being with us. And Abraham drew near and said, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Actually, if you go back, verse number 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? What is God? God is about to visit Sodom and Gomorrah, and if it is exactly what he's heard it is, bring judgment and destruction to these cities, this region. But the Lord said, I cannot hide or conceal what I'm going to do from Abraham. Verse 17, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Seeing Abraham shall surely become great and mighty, a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed by him. Think about that. Before God is moving in a decision in the earth realm concerning cities and regions, God says, I've got to talk to my representative. That's the word ecclesia. Blessings to you as well. I've got to speak to the one in whom represents nations. That's the job of the church, to be the remnant. Remember, the 12 gave a report for the 12 tribes. There was 12 spies and there was 12 tribes. 10 of them had a godly, a wicked report, and 2 of them had a goodly kingdom report. Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit, and the 12 represented the 12 tribes. The one spoke for the nation or the region or the territory. And verse number 19, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord. Remember that. The Bible calls us to be, again, we said this last week, to be salt and light. And as we were driving in, we received a prayer request from one of the members whose family is in the military, whose son and whose family isn't, and praying because there were bombs that went off in certain parts of Iran, different places. Things are being blown up, and they are trying to bring military voluntarily, and then they're going to begin to do that by force. And I want to encourage you, and I want you to be not fearful, but to be reverent. Not to be afraid of what's taking place, but to be sober and be mindful that salt has a job. It is to preserve. Light has a job. It is to expel the darkness. And though things are happening in this world, bless you, Sister Violet, we are required to shine and to preserve by being the light, being who we are called to be. Here is what God is saying. I know Abraham, that he's going to teach his household my ways. Verse 19, I know him, he will command his children and his household after him, that they will keep my judgment. Now, let me remind you, one word for opinion is glory. Glory or glory, one word for glory is opinion. This is the word doxa. In the New Testament, John 1 verse 14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So mainly the word in the New Testament for glory is the word doxa, where you get the word doxology, which is worship. You get the word orthodox, which is order. But the word doxa is the word where you get the word opinion. And God has an opinion. God has a mind. And this is why man was commanded to leave the Garden of Eden and to live by the sweat of his brow, leave the kingdom realm where his words were power, and live by the sweat of his brow, because he took of the tree of his own opinion. Now he could eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and now he could call good what God called evil, and he could call evil what God called good. He could now decide for himself. Before he ate this, he only called good what God called good, and he only called evil what... See, let me make it clear to you. What's happening in the world is not going to get better. We can stay there for a moment. Verse 19. I know him. He's going to command his children, his household. Abraham is... God's getting ready to move in a decision. And this decision is about to affect Lot. Now, Abraham is not in Sodom and Gomorrah. But Lot is there. A family member of a man with a covenant. This is how important covenant is, that God deals with Lot differently because he's connected to Abraham. Are you hearing me? The whole city's about to be destroyed, but God says angels on an angelic assignment to rescue the family of a man with a covenant. This is why the devil hates covenant. This is why doctrines of demons, I'll say doctrines of devils, have arisen in the last day to teach against the tithe. There are actually people who believe that the deception that you don't have to be in covenant with God. You don't have to marry God. You can choose to just, you know, praise God, come and go as you want. You can date the Lord, but a covenant is a commitment. And I'll remind you again, the tithe was not in the law. It was before the law. The law came through Moses. The scripture says, but grace and truth through Jesus Christ. But before Moses ever wrote down a letter, a jot or a tittle, God gave this principle to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And the Bible says that a figure appeared named Melchizedek, who was the priest of Salem, and the King of Righteousness. So a king and a priest, you've never seen this, who had no beginning and no ending. So he's a type and shadow of Christ. Hebrews says Jesus lives forever for this covenant. Why am I bringing this up? I'm telling you by the Holy Spirit, your covenant is important with God. And the tithe is not the only principle of your covenant, but a part of that covenant nonetheless. And so Abraham has a covenant. He said, I know Abraham. He's going to teach his house after him. He's going to keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, and that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he spoke in verse 20. And the Lord says, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great. We are in that day now where sin is abounding. Wickedness is increasing. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. Jesus is coming. Yes, he's coming through us before he's coming for us. And I will remind you, I believe in a rapture. I believe in a catching away, but I do not believe in a rescuing of the church from the Antichrist or the devil. That is not biblical. The Bible says, Matthew 16 says, that God is going to raise up a church in whom the gates of hell will not prevail. And that God would give the keys of the kingdom, and whatever they bind on earth will be bound in heaven. He said, according to Ephesians, that he's coming for a glory-filled church without spot or wrinkle, not defeated, not broke, not busted, not disgusted, not divided, a powerful church. So I do believe in a catching away, but I believe that we've misinterpreted the times and the season, so that when people what happens now, we hear of wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and famine. And because most believers, not church, not just the world, most believers live with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. I'm not mad at you. I love you. But I said most believers, their strength and their confidence and their source is in the world. Tithing is not important. Giving's not important. Worshiping's not important. Now, it doesn't mean they don't do it. They just do just enough to get in, but their strength and all of their eggs are in this worldly system. So when we hear about a war and a rumor of a war, when we hear about pestilence, let me say this to you again. Pick up the media device and see what's happening. My wife was looking. We don't often watch natural news. If we do, we're careful. And we were reading, or she was reading on the way in to town today, fighting through the traffic. And she said, we're on the brink of another world war. We actually are. What's happening in Syria, the bombings, what's happening in Israel, what's happening in Ukraine, that we're on the brink of these things. Now, why would we not be afraid of these things? It's not because we're not natural beings, because our strength is in the kingdom of God. Our covenant is with God. I know the Lord. The Lord said the cry of Sodom is great and great. And the Bible says because their sin is very grievous. Now what they're sowing, eventually they're going to reap. But our source is not in money. Our source is not in natural weapons of warfare. And I pray for military. We've got military people in our churches. We've got law enforcement. We've got people that are enlisted in the armed services, and we pray for those soldiers. But our strength is not in military might. It's not in who has the biggest missile, who has the biggest nuclear arm, who has the biggest military force. That's what man's power is. See, God got angry with David because he went to number the people. He got angry because he went to number the army, so that he was now putting confidence in earthly systems. That's how superpowers are measured. How many missiles do you got? How many machine guns do you got? How many soldiers do you got? How many nuclear bombs do you? How big is your military force? And one is compared to another, and they fear each other because of natural numbers. That's fine. But God rebuked David, said, your power is not with flesh and blood. Your power is not with numbers. I am the God of heaven. I watch over my city. I watch over my nation. I watch over my people. And God rebuked David for daring to number the people, because it's not with flesh and blood. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. But this is too radical to be that radical, to believe that God wants to intervene in the affairs of men. Verse 21, Now the Bible says, I'm about to go down. Here is what 21 says. Bless you, Sister Spring. The Lord bless you, woman of God. I'm about to go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come to me. And if not, I will know. God is about to come down. Let me encourage you. Let me get you excited, believers, children of God, men and women who serve the Lord with all of, I'm not talking about weekend believers. I'm not talking about part-time prayer. I am talking about the men and women who long to see the face of God, who serve the Lord with all of their soul and all of their might and all of their strength, whose trust is in the Lord. The Bible said there are those who put their trust in horses and in chariots. They put their trust in money and in power, but there are those who put their trust in the Lord. I said those who put their confidence in our God. For those who put their confidence, God is about to come down. I said the glory of the Lord is about to come. And when he does, he brings mountains low and valleys high. When he does, he makes crooked things straight and rough places smooth. When he appears in power, the God of justice and the God of victory comes. Oh, I don't fear man because I know the God of heaven. I don't have to fear what man will do, what one bomb will do, what one war will do, what one famine will do. He even tells you when you hear of these things, don't flip out, don't get afraid, but lift your head because God is about to redeem you. Doesn't mean we're leaving yet. It means the thing he said to you is coming to pass. What did he promise you? What did he speak to you? What did he declare over your life that you're going to see? It will come to pass. It will manifest. I want to tell you, I'm going to go down, said God. I'm going to see. See, God came down another time. There's another place in the book of Exodus where the Lord came down. It wasn't an angel, though the angel of death came with him. It was God himself that came and passed over houses. And the houses that had blood on doors, they were made well, they were free. He said, those people who've got blood on their door, those covenant men who walk with God, those who know their God, oh, you better go to bed tonight with your shoes on and the staff in your hand. If you know the God of heaven, don't you be afraid. Don't you worry. I'm coming down. But when I'm coming, I'm tilting the scales of justice in your favor. If there's blood on the door, you're coming out. But you're not coming out broken, poor, and wounded, and divided. You're coming out with favor. You're coming out with victory. And I want you to understand, tonight is your night of deliverance. Sleep with your shoes on. Sleep with your staff. Pack your bags. And when you come out, you're spoiling. You're taking silver and gold and treasures with you. You're coming into the land of milk and honey. That's God's design. And I will go down. Verse 21 says, I'm in the word already. And I will see whether they've done according to the cry of it. So something's reaching the heavenly realm that now God himself is about to investigate. Are you listening to me? And if not, I will know. They're going to verse number 22 now. If not, I will know. If not, I will know. God says, I'm about to come down. Verse 22 says, and then the men turned their faces from then and went toward towards Sodom. But Abraham stood. So if you read earlier in this text, there are two figures with the Lord. Two of them, three men, and these two start to leave and go towards Sodom. But now the Bible says, keep reading here. Now Abraham stood before the Lord. I need you to listen to me, prayer warrior. I need you to listen to me, man of God. I need you to listen to me, child of the King. While people are doing what they think they know they need to do, while people are buying water, while people are investing in this and that, while people are worried about votes and elections and worry, you need to get in the presence of God. I need to go before the Lord. Abraham went before the Lord. See, the greatest power, I'll say it again, it's not natural weapons. It's not war or military might. It's not intellect. It's not silver and gold. It's not the power of man, but it is the throne room of God. And while the angels of God are deliberating for the course of Sodom and Gomorrah, and they are headed on decision, verse number 23, here's what the Bible, and Abraham drew near and said, now, number one, he stood before God. Number two, he got near God. I'm going to say it again. Number one, the man of God stood before the King of glory. The woman of God can stand before the God of heaven. Then number two, he began to draw close to the Lord. See, when it's time to do business in the spirit, you're going to have to draw close to the Lord. You're going to have to turn this off and get away from this and leave that alone. I know you've got things you want to deal with. I know you're working on things. I know you're trying to fix things, but it's time to, number one, get before the Lord. Number two, draw near to the Lord. He drew near to the Lord and then said, will you surely destroy the righteous with the wicked? Now, here is what's happening. The man of God, the ecclesia, the remnant, is now negotiating for the sake of a city. He's getting in, but see, this is what burns my biscuits just a little bit. It don't get me mad, but it just ruffles my feather. The prophets see, this is going to come in 2025, and this is going to, and I see an earthquake, and I see judgment coming, and I see people standing in soup lines. They may see it. It may be what you see, but what are you doing about what you saw, sir? You may see an earthquake. The prophet said a 10 point something earthquake's coming to Chicago, and they saw that. Yeah, you saw it, but what are you doing with what you saw? You can stand in the gap, sir. You're an intercessor. You see, God told Abraham what he was about to do, and then the man of God stood in the way. Oh, not me. The man of God made a decision. The man of God decided in the Holy Ghost to begin to intercede for a city, to pray for wicked people. We would have said, God, burn them all. We're like the sons of thunder. We want God to crispy critterize everybody. We want people slain. But God said, you don't know what spirit you are. Bless you, Brother Lentz. God wants you to realize you've got an authority with God. You've got a place with it. Number one, he gets before the Lord. Number two, he begins to draw near to the Lord, and he begins to ask him a question. Are you going to slay righteous with wicked? No, I'm not. That's not the heart of God. God will never do such a thing. Verse number 24, pre-adventure, if there is 50 righteous within the city, will you not spare the place for 50 righteous that you find? He said, if you can find 50 in the city, would you keep the city around? Okay, are you listening? The God of heaven is actually negotiating with a man. The man don't even have the Holy Ghost. He's just a friend of God. In the Old Testament, they were servants and they were friends. In the New Testament, we are sons and daughters of God. Can you hear me? Are you listening? Verse 25, the Bible says, he says, and God responds, and 25, we were at 24, and be it far from me of this matter of the righteous, with, and that it be far from thee to do this matter, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should ask the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? See, you got to know who you're talking to here. You know, would you slay the right? You're the God of, you're the righteous. He just starts to worship. He goes to start blessing him. Aren't you the righteous one? Oh, would you just, no, he's not going to do it. Put me in remembrance of the word. And I would say, well, this is just a man. He just a speck of dust. Look at God's response. Look at what God said. Verse 26, and the Lord says, if I find within Sodom 50 within the city, I will spare the city for the sake of the 50. I said, wow, didn't he do something right? Didn't the man of God intercede? That's what it means to stand in the gap. That's what it means to intercede for a place. And here is what Abraham, verse 27, he wasn't done yet. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I've taken upon me to ask the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. You know, I'm coming in a humble state. Bless you, Brother Edmund. The Lord bless you, man of God. 28, the Bible says, pre-adventure that you lack 5 of the 50. Say, you know, I don't want to push it, God, but what if 5 were missing? Would you destroy the sake for a lack of 5? And he said, if I find 45, I will. See, here we go now. It sounds like he's let's make a deal with God. And again, it's not something we would think about doing because he's God and we're just a servant. But here is what he said. If I find 45, what if 5 are missing? And God said, whatever you say, I say. This is the power of ecclesia. It is a governing authority that what we bind in the earth, God will back us up if he trusts us. Verse 29, and he spake yet again. What would happen? Pre-adventure, that there be lacking. Again, 40 found then. He says, I will not do it for 40. He keeps going. He's negotiating. Keep reading 30. He said, and he said again, oh, not let the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Pre-adventure, you find 30 be found there. And the Lord said, and God said, I'll do it for 30. See, God didn't want to destroy it anyway. Are you listening to me? God is dealing with a man over the course. And you say, Apostle, Pastor, you see what's happening? Yes. You see the sin? Yeah. You see the wickedness? Yes. You see it's getting worse. It's getting darker. And these wages of sin is still death in the New Testament. That's Romans. The wages of these decisions ultimately will bring destruction upon a nation. When a nation turns from God, it is headed toward destruction. That's the word. But are there any righteous in the land that will lift their voice? Verse 31 says, and he said, behold now, I take upon me, Lord, pre-adventure, you shall find 20. He said, I'll keep it for 20. He just pushing that thing. Bless you, Rudy. But man of God, Rudy, the Lord bless you, man of God, Sanchez. 32, he's interceding. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. Pre-adventure, you will be found there. Pre-adventure, 10 shall be found. And he said, if I find 10, verse 33, if I find, and the Lord went away, he said, go back to actually verse 32. He said, I will not destroy it for 10 sakes. That's where he stopped negotiating. You understand? Wherever the man of God, the woman of God would stand and agree, God would move. This is what it means to move. God has all power, but he's given man authority, dominion, and he's waiting on us. Verse number 33. Let's keep reading this here. And the Lord went away as soon as he had left communing with Abraham and returned to his place. I'll read it again. And the Lord went away as soon as he went, finished communing. Wait a minute. For me, communion is drinking a cup or worshiping. God calls communion dealing with the course of nations, cities, and realms. That God finds a man or a woman he trusts that would stand in the gap and lift up a hedge. And the angel comes later and says, I need 10. I've only got 4. I've got Lot. I've got Lot's wife and his 2 daughters. The angel says to Lot, do you got any brother-in-laws? Anybody else? He says, no, we don't got anybody else that would believe our word. So the Bible says, according to the word, that the angels carried them out of the city and got ready to rain fire. Don't look back. And even Lot was able to negotiate for one of the cities. Are you listening to me? That God wants to use you and I. I said, God wants to use you and I to stand in the gap. Well, you said that was one instance. The Bible says Moses interceded for Israel. God was getting ready to destroy Israel. Exodus 32. Gonna go to Exodus 32, right about verse 12. Well, that was one instance. The Bible says God saw the sin of Israel and he was ready to destroy the city. Exodus 32. Actually, going to go down just a little bit to yeah, 12 is good there. We're going to jump back to Exodus 30. It had me in Genesis. So this is the place in the scripture where the Lord has led Moses to lead the people out. I'm going to go back just a little bit more. Verse 7, all right? So God has led the people of God into the wilderness. All right, he's just dealt with the Egyptian. The problem is the people are stiff-necked. They don't move when God says move. They're hard-hearted. God brought them out of slavery, can't get the slavery out of them. So every time they turn around, they're moving into some kind of idol worship. All right, let's read verse number 7. And the Lord said to Moses, go get there down for thy people. See, Now it's his people. Watch the wording. Which you brought. Wait a minute. You brought them out, Moses, out of the land. They have corrupted themselves. Keep reading. And they've turned aside quickly out of the way. What did God say? I know Abraham will not do. He will not turn from the way. The ways of God. Keep reading. They've turned out of the way. And they've made a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which you brought up. So what they did is they named the calf the God of Israel. They've moved into idolatry and they wanted a God they could see and touch and feel with their hands. Keep reading. Wherefore, verse 9. Wherefore, the Bible says, and the Lord said to Moses, I've seen this people, and behold, they are stiff-necked. They're not movable. They're not pliable. They're not flexible. Now, therefore, look at the wording of this. Verse 10, now, therefore, leave me alone that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Are you reading this with me? That God is getting ready to slay all of Israel. He said, there's not going to be no more Father Abraham. Now it'll be Father Moses. Keep reading. Blessings. Crystal, thank you for joining us. The scripture says, I'm going to make a great nation from you. And Moses besought the Lord. See, this is what makes great men and women of God. David did the same thing when he numbered the people. And the plague came in and 70,000 died in a moment. And the Bible says God opened the eyes of the man of God and he could see an angel standing between heaven and earth with a sword in his hand. And it was called the angel of the Lord. I said, the angel of the Lord? Yeah. And the angel of the Lord began to smite Israel and he began to slay. And the Bible says the Lord rebuked the destroyer. He said, that's enough. But the angel didn't leave. I'm reading your Bible now. I'm telling you the word. But the angel went and waited at Ornan. At the threshing floor with his sword drawn, waiting for a payment, waiting for there to be an application of the blood. And you say, well, that doesn't matter. No, this is relative to today. And the prophet rose up in the ear of David and said, David, you better go there and buy the threshing floor and you better raise up an altar so that sacrifice go before the Lord. And the Bible says that the angel would sheathe his sword and leave, and payment would be just why? Because he had transgressed and numbered the people. So David said, put this thing on me. Let the people live. I'm the one. David stood in the gap and said, God, if you're going to destroy the people, destroy me. Here is what Abraham said. Have mercy on the wicked. Spare them. Here is Moses. And Moses besought the Lord and said, Lord, why does your wrath wax hot against thy people, which you brought out? Wait a minute. Didn't God just say you brought them out? This is like, wait a minute now. The people you brought out, God, out of the land of Egypt with your great power and with a mighty hand. Verse 12 says, wherefore should the Egyptians speak of you and say, for mischief he brought them out? People, what are people going to say about your name? You brought them out to destroy them, to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them with fire off the face of the earth. Turn now from your fierce wrath and repent of the evil against thy people. He's interceding on behalf of a nation. You must intercede on behalf of America, on behalf of California, on behalf of San Diego, on behalf of Fresno. God must find light in the earth and salt in the earth. If God can find salt and light, he can heal the land and spare the land and not destroy the land if you stand up and do what you need to do. Turn from your fierce wrath, the Bible says. Verse number 13. Remember Abraham and remember I Israel. Remember thy servants whom you swore by thine own self and said, I will multiply your seed. So he's putting God in remembrance of the word. Some of us need to get up and start really interceding for Israel, interceding for America, interceding for London, interceding for South Africa, and putting God in remembrance of his word. You got to do the Bible. Be sold and light. Remember the seed of heaven and all this land that I've spoken of, I will give to you and I will inherit it. Verse 14 tells us, and the Lord repented of the evil thing which he thought to do. Are you reading that? I remember when God first brought this back to me and I read it, I literally almost fell out of my chair. That the man of God stood in the gap. The Bible says that God changed his, and the Lord repented of the thing he was going to do unto his people. And Moses turned and went back down and dealt with the people. See, he stood in the gap. I'm done for today. That's all we got today. Hear me. The Bible says God is looking for a remnant. He's looking for a people to redeem the time. For the days are evil. So what do? We buy more time. Why? So we can see the glory fill the earth. I need to agree with you. Redeeming that walk in wisdom and not as the world's, not foolish but wise, redeeming the time for the days are evil. You can redeem. Here is what Abraham did. Here is what Moses did. Here is what David did. He bought more time. He redeemed time. And I believe they're seeing what they're seeing. I make no mistake. I believe the prophets, the real prophets, are seeing what they're seeing about the famines, about the shortages, about the wars, about the destruction. But hear me by the Spirit. Your God is one that hears the prayers of the righteous. For the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous makes tremendous power available. When you pray, things begin to happen. And when Elijah prayed, it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And when he prayed again, it rained. He was a man that also dealt with like passions. Wasn't a perfect man, but he was God's man. You're God's man. You are God's. I've got to pray. I've got to go. Lord, I ask you to touch the people. Keep and direct them. I pray that what is taking place in the nations of the world would lead us before your throne, not into fear, not into intimidation. That God, what you've started in the people, what you've started in the men and women of God would be finished. Give us Abraham's. Give us Moses's. Give us David's who stand up. Give us Esther's who stand in between certain destruction and are willing to risk their life for the sake of nations. God, do it in the hearts of your people. Strengthen them now. Let them lack no good thing. And I pray abounding grace over them, over there. I just pray over America now. Pray with me. I pray over California. I pray over every state represented. Baton, Louisiana. I pray over the West Coast and the East Coast and the Midwest. I pray over Chicago and Atlanta. I pray over these realms and these regions, New York and Las Vegas. I pray over them now. I lift up now the Navajo Nation in Arizona. I pray over them according to over South Africa, over Johannesburg, over Durban, over Pretoria. I pray over Cape Town. I pray over these realms and George. God, I ask you, God, let the hand of God be around these people and on these nations of the world. I pray over Europe and Paris. I pray now over London. God, let the hand of God intervene on behalf of the people of God. I pray, God, raise up the righteous to know their position, that you would get glory and you would redeem the time, and that God's people would stand in the gap, that we would see you glorified. This I pray according to the working of your power. And I pray that is already done in Jesus' mighty name. If you agree, say amen.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Global Prophetic Podcast with Apostle Nathaniel Leon. Stay up to date with our latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app, YouTube, or by liking us on Facebook at This Rock International. Thank you for listening and have a blessed day.